Hello, welcome to Making Creativity Pay. With the Edinburgh Fringe in full swing, I spoke to a number of performers about the marketing and promotional aspects of the Fringe. Thanks very much for coming on the podcast. Can you tell us who you are and a little bit about the show?
My name is Lisa Pizek, and my show is called Too Big for Her Britches. And it is an award-winning, partly autobiographical solo musical that follows the heroine Luna as she tries to make the right choices in life while being undermined at every turn by her narcissistic, overbearing, toxic mother. And it's this inner duel, this inner struggle between her shame, which drives her to bulimia, alcohol abuse, dating all the wrong men, and then her warrioress alter ego, who urges her to fight back against her mother's toxicity. It is a hilarious and heartbreaking dark comedy, and it answers the question, what if too big is exactly the right size?
Have you performed at the Edinburgh Fringe before, or is this your first time? What kind of things are you looking forward to most?
This will be the very first time that myself and my family has ever been at the Fringe in Scotland. We've done Hollywood Fringe, Hamilton, Ontario Fringe, a few other fringes with great success, but first time in Edinburgh, first time in Scotland, and we're quite excited to be immersed in the culture. Connection and community are the two things that always come to mind for me when I think about fringes. And when I first heard them described as like the band camp for theater kids, I was not a theater kid growing up. Theater wasn't allowed in my household. And I've come into this later in my 40s, you know, into adulthood. So I kind of get to relive that inner child or that childhood wonder. And why not do it in Edinburgh, which is the largest arts festival in the world? So I can't wait to be there with my family. I can't wait to be immersed in being with other creatives. And I just get nerdy and get weird, and I can't wait for it. Well, I am a huge people person. I talk to everyone. It annoys the heck out of my husband because I will start a conversation with anyone in an elevator, in line at the grocery store, wherever we are. And we've been told that Edinburgh brings the nicest people. So it's going to be hard for me, I think, to rein it in. But in a way, I think that's the beauty of the generosity of what performing and being at a fringe is all about. So I've always thought about any kind of connection or relationship being one-on-one. And one becomes 10, becomes 100, becomes 1,000, or whatever scale that is, depending on where you are and what's possible.
When it comes to flyering, what's your strategy? Do you spray and pray, or are you a bit more targeted?
So we plan to get up early, go into the city, flyer in the morning when I have my later night shows, and then take a little bit of a break and go back before the show and flyer again. So my hope is to flyer pretty much everywhere that I am when I'm out and about sightseeing. And I don't really know if I have a solid plan yet. I think I'm just open to making quality connections one-on-one no matter where I am in the city when I'm there. So that is the plan. And my 9-year-old is quite excited. He has definitely got his enthusiasm of talking to people from myself. My husband's more of an introvert. So it'll be a little bit of childlike labor between my son and myself going around and flyering. And my husband just kind of being in the background, holding space and holding down the fort. And just being there as a grounding presence.
When it comes to promotion on social media, what kind of things do you tend to use? Are you all over everything, or do you particularly use a particular platform?
I believe that social media is hugely important when it comes to promoting the show. My husband and I run a marketing agency. That's what we do outside of me performing. So I knew of the importance of it to not only when you're there, but make connections beforehand, bring people along in the journey. So I was on Facebook, Instagram, and newly on Twitter. That was the one platform that I didn't do much with. And I shifted mostly to Twitter when someone said to me, hey, that's the place to be. I said, okay, if you got the inside scoop, then that works for me. And back in February, I started taking people along in the journey, the behind the scenes part, as soon as the Fringe, as soon as shows could register, I went on one by one by one and added other creatives and other performers and other associations and groups on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, whatever handles were there. I added them and started making quality connections and started conversations early. And social media is the place where it's not just about showing the highlights, not just about showing the highlight reel of people at your show and the reviews that you get, good or bad. It's about connection. And I believe that social media is one of the most unleveraged tools. People say, I don't know what to say. It's not about being witty and clever. It's about being real and telling people really where you're at in the journey. We also ran some targeted Facebook ads because we have the capability and capacity to do that with our agency. So that was a piece that I think really helped kind of spread the word. As we know, people have to see you and hear about you over and over and over again before they decide to come sometimes in the marketing world. So we started early. I started early and it's been a blast. For me, it's always been important to have quality conversations around your goals and why you go to the Fringe and what your show is all about, and really making sure that when choosing a venue and a time and ticket prices and what you're going to say in your bucket speech strategy aligns with your goals. And it's the same kind of vision and goal with who you partner with to come to the Fringe. I think it's the beauty of the Fringe is that there are so many unique and interesting plays and stories and stand-up and circus, and there's so many genres and they're all incredible. So I believe in this partnership and this dance that you need to have with the venue or your PR person or whoever you hire to help you. They have to get it. They have to get what you're doing. And for me, it's a human connection story that I don't want to say is bigger than the Fringe, but in a way, my show feels like this message is meant for cross-cultural conversations.
So for the venue you're performing at, was there anything in particular that drove the decision to go there?
So I found it really important to partner with a venue that likes human connection stories and knows how to showcase human connection stories. And I think post-pandemic, they're becoming more and more prevalent and people are wanting to hear stories so they feel less alone and they feel validated. And when done well, it's just a beautiful piece of art. So I always knew that I didn't want to do like an early in the morning, super late night kind of thing where people are looking for stand up and looking to have a good time. You know, my show is deep and it makes you think and it's also hilarious at the same time. But many people say they go in and they don't expect to be as moved as they are. And they don't expect to be. A lot of people say, I've been thinking about your show. Like it's like 4 days later and I'm still thinking about it. So I wanted to make sure that it was at a time where it could be appreciated and digested. So we actually chose three different times. So I don't have one main time slot. I'm at 7:15, 11:45, and then 2:45. So week one, two, and three. So it's going to be an interesting, the marketer in me loves to test how things go. So I'm quite interested to see how those times will work. I don't like to do the same thing over and over and over again. So the variability in times is great for me. And the venue, I just felt really supported and really heard by The Space, which is where I'm at, The Space UK. And I think it's going to be a great thing. So you never know. You know, you have to stay curious. You have to stay open. And I just remind myself that generosity is the most important thing, no matter where I am or what time of day or who I'm talking to. being generous of spirit is where it's at.
When it comes to looking at progress, how relaxed are you in terms of ticket sales? Do you refresh it every 10 minutes or are you fairly relaxed about how things go?
I would love to say that I am calm, cool, and collected. But the truth is I do check ticket sales every day. My husband gets frustrated because I don't like surprises. I like to always be in the know. So for me, it's just a piece that I wouldn't say every 10 minutes, but every day I am checking, and as the numbers go up, it's exciting. Being a first timer at the Fringe and not having a history in Edinburgh, it's a challenge to stand out and to, you know, make your mark there, because it is really the mecca of beautiful talent and creatives. And it's just, you know, it is the largest arts festival in the world. So I check every day just to kind of see where I'm landing. But at the same time, I know that it's not a reflection of me. It's not a reflection of the show. Like, you can't, you know, there's a piece of control that you have to let go of, and you realize that you're not in control at all. You know, different strokes for different folks. Some people have really great preferences about things they like and things they don't like and things they want to see and things they don't want to see. And I've always been an outside of the box person. So even though there's music in my show, it's not typical musical theater. It's like pop music that you would hear on the radio. So all of these kind of conventional norms, even though I'm in the musical and opera category, you know, I always find a hard time kind of ticking off the box as to what my show actually is. You know, okay, it's a dark comedy. Great. But I've had people who say, like, they just laugh their butts off. And they're like, it's funny. But yeah, it's also dark. So it's kind of hard to tick a box. And when that happens, I think you don't maybe know where you land. Like, even though I'm a marketer in my day-to-day, sometimes I find it really hard describing what my show actually is and what it actually is about, because everybody takes away something so different. I know that's the death of marketing when you can't be clear, but the cool part about it, even though it's about narcissism and breaking generational trauma and a story of, you know, this inner shame and this inner warrioress battling, it is a human connection story that everyone can relate to. So I want, of course, you know, I want everybody there, and I want everyone to come of all ages. Women have been resonating the most to the story, but men also say they take so much from it too. And yeah, I am checking every day, and it's more out of excitement than it is out of anything else.
Are there any particular shows you're looking forward to see, or any posters or promotions you've seen? I've got to see that.
Since I'll have my family with me and my 9-year-old, definitely going to see some children's shows will be something that I'm interested in, as well as kind of like the circus, just those kind of off the wall, out there shows, I think are going to be really interesting, because I haven't really experienced much of that. I've seen mostly theater and solo shows and the fringes and things that I've been a part of. So definitely the like off the wall acts and those things that are really out there, I definitely want to go see. Family friendly, if it's, you know, if I'm bringing my whole family, probably some stand up comedy as well. If it's maybe just me. And I think it's important. Laughter is such a great release for me, and there's going to be a lot going on with performing every day. And then lastly, there's this group of us from LA that wrote our shows together last year and the year prior. And I've seen their shows in LA, and they've seen my show. And now there's about 6 of us getting together and headed to Edinburgh. So I'm excited to see my peers and the new changes they've made, and have them see the new changes that I've made. And it's just cool seeing this evolution of, I believe, as you grow as a person and as an artist, then when you want to make changes to your show, you know, that grows and that evolves. So I'm really excited to see some shows that I've already seen before. And then I'm also excited just to see the new shows to me, and the new kind of genres like circus and clowning and children's and stand up, because I haven't seen that in the past fringes that I've been in. But there is also a piece of me that, as I'm walking down the street, if I see something really cool, spur of the moment, I'll definitely want to go. I haven't really been looking much at any poster or promotional activity. I've been really focused on my own journey and my own show and my own stuff. But we fly out in a few days, and when I'm there, I'll definitely keep my eyes peeled for some great marketing and some great things that catch my eye.
Thanks very much for taking part. Have a great fringe.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, check out our other episodes where we speak to a number of performers about their experiences at the Edinburgh Fringe, as well as with creatives in other industries about making creativity pay.